We've been doing it, like I said, a long time. It's our goal to be fair and honest and good, and we probably, you know, take orders more than we sell. We're not, there's no solicitation, really. There's no commission-based. We believe in what we do. We provide a service. We let people find us, but we, you know, we work for what we get, and we appreciate it, but you're never going to get a call, you know, pitching you this or that. That is one of the common threads that we see with a lot of these major marketing companies that basically are the catalyst root of how I ended up on the radio. It was a company called Goldline many moons ago, back in the, well, for many years, they charged people very dearly. They had a pretty substantial radio show called The American Advisor. It was a very interesting show. People enjoyed it. But then they worked with Goldline, and they had commissioned salespeople, and, you know, they sold products pretty much always at double retail. And with us, there is no retail. They had the, you know, there's retail catalogs and guides. That's pretty much over. It has been for us forever. Everything to us is based on what it's really worth. We all pay within percentage points of the actual value of an item. But that allows us to do a number of things. One, most importantly, is to pass it on to you, the investor collector, at or near its wholesale value. But, you know, even that doesn't apply to everything, because we hand select what our investors get. And trust me, I've been doing this 25 years. And when we put together portfolios, we try our best to really make the best decisions as far as value-based decisions go, I guess. There's numismatic, semi-numismatic, and bullion. Semi-numismatic just means that the value, that it's a collectible item whose value is very close to its bullion value, per se. $20 gold pieces are just a classic. I love them, love them, love them. They're from 1800s and early 1900s, and they yo-yo, which is nice. Like, right after COVID hit, I don't know what was gold in the 15-ish range. 20s got all the way up to like $2,100. So people who listened to me and bought them just 6 months ago for $1,400, you know, could have instantly made a 50% profit. Those are the kind of items we really like to put into things. There's a lot. The U.S. Mint continues to mint crazy amounts of products. I do this for a living, and I can't even keep up with it all. There used to be people that would buy everything the U.S. Mint would make. Can't do that anymore. There's so darn much of it. And there's tons of, you know, specific limited edition, one-time palladium reproductions of the mercury dime, but 1 ounce and on. And, you know, and it sounds crazy. There are some things, once in a while, that'll grade, you know, like you want them in perfect condition. There's some items that are good investments. And we put those in portfolios where we can when we have them. We just recently had a 3-coin set of the palladium mercury dime. They're not the size of a dime, but we just had that. That's like one in, I mean, we've done a substantial amount of business over the years, and that's it. That's the only ones we've ever had. We get things like that. They made a 2009 reproduction $20 gold piece, high relief, and there, just, I don't mean to boggle your mind. There's things we care about, and we really help you determine good values to invest. We balance portfolios. We do bullion, and then we do numismatic, and then or semi-numismatic, and then numismatic. And the thing is with numismatic is it's over the long haul. First of all, you got to enjoy it. I've talked about humans are biased towards, attracted towards value and quality. We gravitate towards them. God made us that way. We like quality and beauty and value. You go back in history, I mean, 1,000 years ago, go back 2,000, 3,000 years ago, look at the architecture, the incredible carvings and details, even, you know, back in the Greek empires and Roman empires. This is built into humanity. This is a special gift from God. So this whole concept of, You know, we have been numbed, as far as I'm concerned, to God's creation of us. Our whole system is designed to take away all of our talents and God-given abilities and opportunities. We no longer desire, I mean, we're shoved in metropolitan cities in general, where we don't really get to stretch our arms out and move around and work and enjoy the sunshine and water and trees and animals. We get put in public schools, and we're all told to behave a certain way. And you think about it, kids that are in trouble a lot of them, you know, they're just made different. They're movers and shakers. Maybe they're not made to be sitting there all day. I don't think any of us think God made people that way, especially kids. Do I believe in education and higher education? Absolutely. Kids can't survive without it. Our brain is like a muscle. You have to use it and exercise it to grow. Is the school system a good concept? Yes. Is it the right concept? No. It should be a lot more simplified. It should be a lot more dignified. It should be a lot more driven towards people's individual abilities. And it should allow, sad to say this, but it should allow people to fall behind. You remember, no child left behind? That meant everyone passes. It's like a team. It's like, we're all going through this together, guys. It's like going into the army and being put in a squadron of 25 men for boot camp training and having to carry a couple guys that cost the whole team the night off, and they end up having to work all night or whatever. It's the same thing. We cannot, when it comes to individualism and personal striving and personal growth, we cannot tie ourselves to others. Now, if a guy wants to reach down and help someone else, great. A friend of mine who's a very good ranger, a longtime Army Ranger, who's overseen a lot of the training and stuff. Years back, the first two girls supposedly made it through Ranger training. It's 14 weeks of absolute sheer brutality. They call it training. It's really testing and proving and training. And the design of it is, like this friend of mine said, you don't go there to get trained. He said, you go in one person and you come out the other another, and you'll never be changed. So they had two girls that were their first tests to push through. Well, he said that the men, the Ranger men, were such gentlemen, they could not help themselves but to do everything they could to help these ladies. And of course they got through and they got the credit and ooh, good job. They did make concessions in a lot of areas for them, which, you know, is questionable because, you know, being in the military, I agree with, the Army Rangers is a very, very elite bunch of night operators who essentially, you know, they just have very intense, fast operations, specific targeted operations. It's not, you know, and whether you like it or not, there is a physical difference between men and women and so on and so forth. But what he was telling me was that those men were such gentlemen that they could not help themselves but to make sure these gals made it through, carry their rucksacks, all kinds of stuff, okay? That's great, okay? That's reaching down and helping the less fortunate or helping someone who needs a hand, which we can all do that in life. It's when the government forces us to do that, we start to lose our bearings. We start to, you know, it's kind of like if you're going to do something nice and someone says, you better do that. Well, it just takes it away. You're done. You're like, yeah, I was going to do that, but now, you know, all of a sudden it's a negative obligation. And before, it was a positive, challenging opportunity. And if we're living right and serving God, we're going to be living that way and doing that. Charity was always handled by individuals before we got into the hardcore FDR socialism. I was reading some of that stuff lately. That's pretty heavy-duty stuff, what he did. But once it becomes a government obligation, everybody looks at it as if there is no other way. No one would ever do anything good, they think, in their lives without the government. It's like, it's crazy, and I don't know if it has to do with the, partly to do with the variation in immigrants, people that are coming into the country, maybe they haven't been viewed so well because they're illegal and they want handouts and the government gives them handouts, but individuals don't give them the same handouts. So the less fortunate, if you will, and maybe sometimes the, you know, there are people that are, you know, not abiding by the law, like to or seem to think they like to rely on the government more. And it really produces a bad product. It really produces a bad product. And that's part of the reason with our school system continuously dropping and dropping and dropping all of our testing standards. I talked about George Bush and his No Child Left Behind. And we need children left behind, with all due respect. We need people operating at their own aptitude. And, you know, pray and hope. With all this COVID stuff, I don't know where we're going after this, folks, or because of it. But you can see, isn't it interesting? Why is this happening? We, you know, have you seen the rioting and supposed protests? Yes. George Floyd was absolutely unjustifiably brutally murdered by that heinous cop. It was terrible. And it's, as I said, I've done a lot of martial arts. And as I watched that, I was literally suffocating. I had someone tell me, well, he didn't die from suffocation. He died from some pre-existing heart condition. He had drugs in his system. I'm like, you know, that is irrelevant. And like I said to him, I said, well, pre-existing heart condition, you know, that they found that he didn't know he had, perhaps, who cares? Would he have died had that cop not left his knee on the guy's neck for 9 or 10 minutes? I mean, that was absolutely unbelievable. Crazy, right? Unbelievable. To be honest with you, I don't know. I was just sitting here looking at some stuff related to it. It's just really sad. So, okay, that's great. Then we've got the justice issue going on, right? We've got people that supposedly have no faith. We have protests here in Spokane last night. Everything's going fine. It's peaceful, and here comes the bus. Or as my dad would say, here come the bus. There's a busload of people that get off. They're Antifa. These are evil, rotten troublemakers. They're anarchists. They're antagonists. They come with all their black helmets and face masks, and they're trained how to subvert the police. They're trained how to run and fly and get out of there. They're carrying weapons. I mean, these guys, it's going to get real bad. We've seen situations in the past where they have literally beat people to death, and the media does nothing, and the law enforcement does nothing. The leadership does nothing. If you haven't noticed, they've got riots that were continuing as I speak, possibly in D.C. Trump came out and spoke. He said, I am the law and order president. Praise God for him. Okay? So he's, despite all the mockery and all the harassment towards Trump, he's doing the right thing. He's doing the thing about Trump is he's doing what he said he would do. I mean, even more as far as spending goes. That's not necessarily good, but hey, you know, I mean, wow, craziness. Can you believe this? I mean, think about it, folks. Is this just one great big coincidence in an election year? COVID. You know, and then we have the George Floyd death, and then we have, you know, all riots and all this stuff, and it's just absolute. And then what does Nancy Pelosi say? It's just a distraction. When it's in their favor, which the average person couldn't comprehend because chaos and antagonization is what's in their favor, sadly. It's all part of the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals, you know. Just create continuous chaos. Never stop. Keep it going all the time. There is no break. Who has the energy? The youth. They, you know, God made us that way. The worlds are changed by youth. Worlds are changed by people in their late teens and 20s and even their early 30s. I was talking to a friend of mine who's running an amazing church down in Fort Worth. Growing like a weed, far as I can tell. From what I've heard, it's the fastest growing church in America. And he's expanding campuses and he's growing, but he's humble. He's seeking the Lord. He's got fear of the Lord, which is interesting. Like, a lot of people, as they come into fame and fortune, I guess it's not really what it is in spiritual ministry, but as they come into, you know, blessing and leadership and more authority and growth, they tend to gain arrogance. This friend of mine, I think the reason God's using him as a conduit is as he gains more responsibility, he's being more humbled by God. He's seeing there's absolutely no way, literally on earth, this could happen without God. These are true, true miracles. And we have to understand and realize that, you know, when we turn things over to God and we grow and we let him do his work, we are vessels. I didn't set up the system. I don't understand it, but he needs to work through us. He needs humans to be his vessels. So those are the kinds of things we need to be doing with ourselves rather than this other stuff. You've got, like I said, the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals, where he basically is telling us to just keep a constant state of chaos and discomfort and misery. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. This is Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky wrote the book, Rules for Radicals, back in whatever, 1960-something, 67 or 71 or something, but it is a battle cry for liberal protesters, but which has led to anarchists. Never go outside the expertise of your people. Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of your enemy. You'll see this all the time on debates, when on TV, when somebody's really onto something, or if a newscaster or a co-host or an alternative guest has certain perspectives on things that prove they know a lot, they'll move the target. I call it spinning plates. They seem to always want to spin plates. And what I mean by that is that they're forever, you get like 11 plates spinning. I don't know if you've ever seen those guys in the circus, and they just go from one to the next to keep them spinning. Well, you can't have a conversation like that if you read, you know, How to Fight Fair in a Marriage. All these things Saul Alinsky does are actually, you know, they say, no, that's bad. You'll ruin your marriage. You ruin relationships this way. Well, Saul Alinsky, his actual preface to his book, his intro, is a dedication to Satan. You think, well, so what? Kevin, you dig up some wacko author. Well, is he relevant? Is he significant? Why would I talk about this guy? How about the fact that Hillary Clinton did her PhD thesis on Saul Alinsky, met with him? How about the fact that Barack Hussein Obama praised the guy, said he spent much time with this guy, being mentored by him? This guy plays a role. You've got a group of people, folks. I don't understand that demonic view of the world. I don't get it, but it's out there and it's powerful. And these people are planted by you know who. They in this country, the United States of America, folks, is the greatest target of the devil, the dark side you can imagine. Far greater. You know, the devil wants to go after families. He wants to destroy people in ministry. He wants to destroy churches. You know, he wants to just, and a lot of us, sadly, folks, he doesn't have to do anything. We're doing it all ourselves. But the United States of America represents far more. There's many situations in the world where there is restraint on evil because of the United States of America. There are many leaders who evil, with evil intentions, who are restrained because of the United States of America. You have to realize we've got to maintain and remain the most powerful nation on earth. This whole thing where you get Clinton and then Obama just disarming our military and gearing us way down. You know, people argue welfare warfare. They say the liberals burn off money on welfare, the conservatives on warfare. Well, now they both do both. But with our stance for freedom and Christ, you know, in our nation, we're told, oh, no, we're not. Obama made it clear we're not a Christian nation. Well, we are. We're made by Christians. We're made for Christians. We give the opportunity to, for freedom of religion like no one else ever does or will or has. They want to take us out. There is a spiritual battle against the red, white, and blue. Divide and conquer. Jesus said it himself. A house divided will fall. Unfortunately, and I agree, I've spoken with friends in very profound positions around public and, you know, corporate situations or positions, and they all are like, it's the media, it's the media, it's the media, it is the media. These people are going after us. The devil's using it like crazy. It says he's the prince and power of the air or the airwaves. Where'd that come from? Why is that in the scripture? Because it's true. It's his domain. You and I don't see the air. Apparently, they do. On the spiritual realm, he controls the airwaves. That's his domain. We don't know where his authority comes and goes, but we know that God had to sneak Jesus in. He had to sneak Moses in under the nose of Pharaoh. There's stories in apocryphal and pseudographical writings that Abraham was the same way while Nimrod was destroying the first 2 years of young-born males, just as Herod later did. God had to sneak Jesus in. Does that mean God's more or weaker than the devil? No. It means that there's a set of rules. There's an agreement of domain, and God respected that. But God still got done what he had to be done. And so, you know, we've got the devil attacking our families, attacking our government, infiltrating it at every level. People don't even know what a civil servant is anymore. And I'm very pro-law enforcement. But we're seeing more and more scenarios where they just... They're not, and don't get me wrong, I mean, there are some terrific guys out there, a lot of them, but they just, there's a service and a servant's attitude, and I do agree that, you know, there's, people are taught to hate and the vitriol and all that, and sometimes justifiably so, because you put these police officers in certain situations, and how do you react? What's right? You know, you get, I'm not saying ever putting a knee on a guy's neck for 9 minutes who's handcuffed is right. That was wrong as wrong gets. That's bouncing off the wrong wall. But I mean, you know, there's a lot of situations where they get put in these situations to escalate. Now with this stuff going on, with all this riots and stuff, what do? They stand back and let these guys destroy private property. It's all these liberal governors and liberal mayors that are allowing this stuff to happen. And I'll tell you what's really interesting is Trump's approach today to the D.C. riots and the rest of them. He's taken great leadership. And he's essentially recognizing, you have to remember he's got better intel. He's recognizing the fact that these are professional mobs. And Antifa is at the heart of this stuff. People are like, what's Antifa? You know? Well, supposedly, it's a anti-fascist operation defined here as a political protest movement comprising autonomous groups affiliated by their militant opposition to fascism and other forms of extreme right ideology. Really, what it is a deception. They say they're anti-fascist, anti-right wing. Okay? What are they for? Well, they don't know. But we know if you're anti-right, you're probably, yes, left. Okay? And when you get far left, what do you become? A socialist. But they're anti-fascist socialists. Does that make any sense? It sure does not make sense to me. If you understand what a fascist is, or what is fascism, I guess I should say. Fascism is a little bit hard to comprehend, but it's a nationalized socialism where people, I mean, it's socialism. It's a form of government that has, I mean, Venezuela is an example. It's a form of government that's a one-party dictatorship that works for a totalitarian one-party state whose aim is to prepare the nation for armed conflict and to respond to economic difficulties. And the definition says fascism puts nation and often race above the individual. Adolf Hitler was fascist. Think about it. A form of government with a type of one-party dictatorship that works for a totalitarian one-party Nazi party only state whose aim is to prepare the nation, Nazi Germany, for an armed conflict, you think? And to respond to economic difficulties, which means just literally they consume and operate businesses. They indemnify them. They confiscate them. They take them and they run them dictatorially, violently, militarily, especially the ones they need and want. That's what Nazi Germany is. So Antifa says they're anti-Nazi, essentially, and anti-right wing. So they lump it all together and they blame everything. They call everything like their version of Nazism. It's all Nazism. Maybe they're being taught to see this way. But they're a bunch of vandals and they're being brainwashed and they're being told, you're fighting for a great cause. You're doing a great thing. And they're really doing the bidding of the devil. There is no doubt in my mind that's what's going on. And I had one in here a while ago with an Antifa shirt on. I said, you don't believe in that crap, do you? And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, okay, what does it mean? Well, we're against fascism and blah, blah, blah. I said, great, you're anti-fascist. So what do you do? Well, we're willing to do anything we can to uproot that evil, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're anti-fascist. What are you pro? I said, pro? He looks at me. What do you mean? I said, what are you for? Anti-fascism, he said. I said, you're anti-fascism. What are you for? You want to define our system as fascist. And by the way, he was so foolish. I said, so By your standards, what system in the world isn't fascist? China, he says. Folks, what? These guys are so screwed up in the head, they've been brainwashed. China's as bad as it gets. China's so fascist, a friend of mine from college who's a big dog with U.S. Steel, who was involved with the building, the largest privately funded construction project in the world, which was the city center development in Vegas, and he was commissioned to bid on the steel and create, make the thing happen. He was working with China, and he kept calling to get bids on steel, and you're like, what? U.S. Steel calling China? Yeah, this was a long time ago. This was a couple decades ago, before China was fully understood. I guess, I don't know. I can't defend it, but I can tell you what he told me. And he would call to get bids from these huge companies. This is a massive project. They were calling mostly to check and balance and all this. Well, they kept getting called back by the Chinese Port Authority. So they'd call the companies again, and it happened again. And finally, he did some research, said, what's this all about? Why is the Chinese government? They said, well, that's how it works here. When you have certain projects of certain sizes going to certain countries, the government manages the entire project. Well, sorry to say, it's funny because I've had this story a long time, and now that China's just become such a wasteland economically for us, it sounds like a totally different story, which is why it's hard to look at history through modern eyes because things change. But he ended up doing a huge transaction with China. They took the Chinese government, managed it all. He said the shipping was impeccable. The timing was phenomenal. All the material was on site, stacked, organized, you know, loaded, and still coming in exact order needed. It was all designed according to the structural engineers for construction, like a literal erection set or like a Lego set. And he said it ran smoother. He had 60 employees who normally orchestrated and organized this stuff that really didn't have to work much. They did a beautiful job. They brought the steel in far below our cost at the time. And then, of course, when it all started going together, they had some bad steel and had to trade and swap and ship a bunch of it back and all that, which doesn't surprise me. I don't know much about steel. But the point is that not fascist? It's a government, a totalitarian government running business in general. Communist capitalists making bigger profit for the government as capitalists. The biggest offense I see in our government's capitalism, obviously in my business, the U.S. Treasury, the U.S. Mint, they're pumping out coins for profit every year. They're making billions and billions of dollars. Should our government be engaged in capitalism? Should they be competing on the open market? For a number of years, they tried to come out and say dealers, which they compared to competitors, couldn't keep signs anywhere that said U.S. Mint products. Well, we all sell U.S. Mint products, but they said you couldn't advertise it or write it down because that was a trademark of theirs. Imagine that? U.S. minted coins. It's like all the coins you have in your pocket from the U.S., they're U.S. Mint products. And you can't say U.S. Mint? I mean, this is how bad it gets when a government gets involved. They initially, this is when the state quarter program was on a roll, they went and shut guys down. And they just lost it. And then, you know, some people stepped in, attorneys, and said, hey, and they backed off real quick for one very good reason. Because they'd overstepped their bounds dramatically. And if they continued, they'd lose the ability to make a profit. They're making billions and billions of dollars a year. We have a variety of things like that in our country that just were never the way it was ever intended it to be. I love when, as a side note, Joe Biden comes out and says, you know, when he's trying to quote the Declaration of Independence. Let me see if I can find this. Maybe you can hear it. He goes, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are... And then he goes, well, you know the thing. You know the thing. That was his recitation of the Declaration of Independence. What? That's like an ex-VP heading for presidency. He says... We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women are created by the, you know the thing. Well, a couple reasons he might have done that. One, that word created popped out of his mouth. And I did notice when Obama was in office, he had monkeyed with, altered, tampered with the words of the Declaration of Independence and removed any relation, any reference to the Creator. And people let it slide. And they're letting Joe Biden slide. Hiding Biden sliding. They're letting him get away with it, which is ridiculous. It says everything. This article on it is funny to go on about how, you know, I won't even get into it. Just terrible. It should say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Which goes back to what I said early on. We're all created equal. Equal opportunity, not equal outcome. And in the government's job is to protect those opportunities, and that we're endowed, given, filled up, entrusted with by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable means God made us a certain way. These rights, in other words, talents and abilities, cannot be alienated from us. They cannot be taken away. This is God's creation, God's earth, God's planet, God's system. And we are His creation. We are His property, folks. Want to get crazy and offend some people? We're His property. You're here listening to me. Either because you're locked in jail and being forced to, or because you choose to. Hopefully it's the latter. Because you have the right to fill your heart and mind and soul with whatever you want. Luckily, you're serving, searching, and pursuing the Lord. That's the whole point. God made us and put us here for this whole thing. And you know, I talked to a guy the other day. He said, well, as we get older, we realize, you know, what the purpose of life is. Well, do we? I mean, I've always known, always since I was a believer and gained a little bit of knowledge, that our desire or our purpose is to know Christ and to make Him known. But there's so much more to this world than that. God gave us a wonderful existence. He gave us the ultimate jungle gym where everyone can plug in and tie in and adapt to where they belong and to use those talents. So there's far more to our existence and our judgment from God than just learning His Son. Knowing His Son is a huge part. It's the part. But then after that, we're judged for our actions. I think there's more than one judgment. I mean, people talk about, you know, the great throne judgment and the righteous judgment and all this stuff. But when we read the parable of talents, you get down to the one talent guy and Christ says, get away from me, you worthless servant. You're a waste. He says, I'm going to cast you into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there seems to be a variety of different displacements in the Bible or manifestations of separation from God, one being what we consider hell, you know, fire and brimstone, and a lot of people who've had visions of hell have seen a lot of reptilian figures and things like that. But then there's the outer darkness and weeping and gnashing. We don't know all of it. We just know we don't want to go there. But he's judging a person whom he gave talents to. The guy with 5 talents and 2 talents said they went immediately and invested those talents and they doubled them. But the guy with 1 buried it in the ground, did nothing, sat on his tail, accomplished nothing, said he was afraid because he knew his master to be unfair, to reap where he didn't sow and all that stuff. And that was enough for Christ to toss him, or at least in the parable, to be tossed. You know, it's a parable about the master, but then the punishment is a punishment that only God can execute, which is casting him into outer darkness where weeping and gnashing of teeth exist. So obviously that story means exactly what the word talents means. It's not just money. He's not like, well, I gave you a nice little nest egg of money and you didn't, you know, that's part of it. But it's so important to understand that that is our existence here. We've got to know who we are and to make him known. But at the same time, we've got to be using those talents to glorify God in every way, shape, and form possible. That is our existence. Now, through all that, you get spiritual eyes, eyes of faith, and you can start to do things a lot more significant, a lot more profound. You can accomplish a lot. You can actually can accomplish things. I mean, folks, if the truth be known, the greatest feats on earth, the most amazing accomplishments are always done by people of God, people of faith. Sometimes their faith doesn't exactly align with yours or mine, but there, you know, there's a heart condition for tapping into God. Romans 14:12 says each of us shall give account of himself to God. That's between God and that man. But if you do acknowledge in reality, we have a huge responsibility there. So let me touch deeply here a little bit on what's going on. So we got the D.C. riots going on. Trump's putting in a 7 o'clock curfew, so they're shut down now. He basically, like I said earlier, he described these as professional mobs. They're professional. This has been going on since Obama. This has been going on since we had the, you know, we've seen it in the tearing down of statues in Charlotte, South Carolina, or Charlotte, North Carolina, or whichever one it was. And then there's that city in each of them. We've seen it going back. Well, there's been all kinds of mobs. I can't exactly recall. There's been some others where I know buses of people just got up and things just get nasty. And under Obama, he's like, you know, he will not condemn these people's behavior. Why? Because he wants their vote. Only thing he says is take that anger and focus it on the elections. Why? So they can win these elections, folks. They've already got us permeated from every direction. Trump said today that any governors that won't protect their people properly, that he will take care of it. He said he'll send out the U.S. military and the National Guard if cities fail to protect their property owners and their people. Business owners have taken enough. Like I said, isn't it the timing ironic? You come off of this failed COVID lie, and if you don't know it's a lie, folks, I'm sorry. I know older folks get really concerned because they make it scary, but if you just do the simple math, I mean, I've spoke to doctors, I've spoke to everybody that's anybody, and they know the numbers are lies. It's not just that they're lies, it's documented. It's documented lies. They get huge money. But from the level of a rest home through a hospital, through cities and doctors and states and counties and on up, there's about $200,000 per COVID death given out by our government, along with tremendous amounts of PPP fraud. That was the payment protection plan. You know, it's just, wow. They have never been so foolish. You can have all the money you want if you're willing to commit fraud, because it's been happening all over the place. So Trump says he'll deploy the National Guard if they fail. He's already deploying, he said, thousands of military and law enforcement individuals in D.C., and this won't happen again. This is our nation's capital. Folks, they burnt down police station in Minneapolis where that George Floyd killing took place. Amy Klobuchar, the prosecuting attorney, let that cop off for a murder earlier. Obviously, it emboldened and empowered him, and he just got the sense of being bulletproof. And you never want to wish evil on a man, but I'm telling you, this guy, he's got a price to pay. He probably won't be long for this earth. The pressure physically and spiritually on him globally is too much. He won't be able to take it. I just think, be checking out. And it's not my wish, but it's just what seems to happen with people like that. They're just too much. It could literally be spiritual. When you have the karma, you know, the spiritual pressure of the whole globe hating you, who knows? And you need to think about that with Trump too. If he's got that kind of pressure coming down, he's got to be covered in prayer, folks. Cover the man in prayer. Pray for wisdom. You don't like what he's doing sometimes? Pray about that. You can get a lot more done that way than you can sending emails to whitehouse.gov. I can tell you that from personal experience. So anyway, Trump said today there's one law and one order. I love how he talks. It so simply goes, we have one beautiful law, one beautiful law. He's trying to describe what he sees. He's trying to explain that what he's trying to define, one law and one order, the words law and order, because he's the law and order president, he says. He's trying to explain what law is. And, you know, there's a point. He's got some insight. How about that? That was a can of window cleaner that fell. What did God call his word in the Old Testament? The law. So maybe, you know, Trump's getting some spiritual insight. There's a lot of prayers going up. Maybe he's seeing the law in the eyes of God. One beautiful law. Think about it. That's kind of what I was getting out of that. But he says there's one law, one beautiful law, and one beautiful order. Well, he's right. If we all obey the law, there's one beautiful order. He says, no justice, no liberty. Isn't that the truth? No justice, no liberty. People have to be brought to justice. There has to be truth. You can't have truth without liberty. What did Jesus say? That he sets the truth will set you free. Truth and justice go hand in hand. You've got to have an enforcement of truth, aka justice, in order to have liberty. Truth will set you free. Anything other than that, and you don't have true liberty. You go into these crazy communistic countries, they have rules, regulations, and guidelines, but they're not based on the truth, and therefore their people are not free. They have to comply with actions and activities, rules and regulations that are contrary to the rules and regulations, the laws of God, as the Bible says, that are written on the hearts of man. Which is interesting. That's when you get into orders that are legal and lawful, because the law can change what's right and true hypothetically, but not truly. It can conflict. So they'll say, is it a lawful order? You know, they say what's legal, lawful, and right. And the whole thing is that you have to know the difference. And I'll go from there. So he says, no justice, no liberty, no justice, no future. You know, no justice, no truth, and the country comes apart at the seams. We've seen this stuff building up with New York police on TV being sprayed with this and that. And, you know, mayors like whack job de Blasio. Folks, if you don't like, he's got a black adopted son, great. I totally support the guy. But then he wants to take this anti-white side. Don't do anti-white, do pro-black, you know? I mean, help them out if they need a hand, but do pro-everybody. If we really have equality, then push for equality. And I understand the minorities need to be lifted up. I see it. And I suppose, you know, when this cop kills this kid, maybe he would have, I think he probably would have done the same thing to a white guy and it wouldn't have hit the news because we don't have that following, you know, the Black Lives Matter stuff, maybe. It doesn't really matter to me. Injustice is injustice. I really don't care, with all respect, what color a man's skin is. And the thing I hate about this racist stuff is that it makes everything about the skin color. And we should be colorblind, is what I believe. So, along these lines, building up to this, again, this ironic timing, this COVID mess, you got Trump kind of figuring out things the way they are. Fauci, Dr. Fauci, from the CDC and WHO and NAIA, he's kind of gone dormant, hasn't he? COVID starts to come apart at the seams. It's an election year, and what happens? Let the chaos begin. Let the rioting and protests. I mean, really? This is America. You got a few busloads of bad people. Why don't we identify who they are and take them out? Why don't we raise the bar? Why don't we create a crime? If you are vandalizing or doing property damage in the act of a protest, call that hate speech or something. Give them a hard, hard sentence. These Antifa people, they're being trained how to get away and how to get out of there, and they don't get caught. Everyone else does. People get hurt. It's bad, you know? So you got Facebook. We're running out of time. You got Facebook and Twitter. Twitter had the gall to put, like, warnings on Trump's tweets, you know, that they're inflammatory and incorrect. And it's like, wow, you talk about trouble. Well, now, and then, you know, Zuckerberg came out, made some comments, but he backed off. Today, as people are harassing him because he's not responding like Twitter to Trump's tweets. This is his own employees. Facebook's own employees haranguing him on Twitter for his silent response. Well, that's the way it should be. He shouldn't be editorializing. The minute they do that, they become a journalistic company. The minute they become journalistic and they're labeled journalistic by our government, they got full liability, and they should. You want to sit and decipher truth from lies? That's what you want to do as a company? You're a conduit, a platform of free speech, and they're removing these old laws. Something's coming down. Going into this election is going to be ugly, folks. These are crazy times. This is the toughest time in this nation's history, I think. So their publishers, rather than platforms, President Trump's tweets should be accessible to anyone. I'm sure you can agree. And I'll leave it this. The power of positive speech and a can-do attitude is everything. Life's 90% attitude, 10% choice. So thanks for tuning in again. Folks, give us a call. Let us help you secure your wealth in a nice long-term way. I've said it. It ain't over. Please be prepared. Please be wise. We'll help you out. Take care. God bless and have a beautiful night. Thank you. Bye-bye.